We now move to part two, the stages of willing, and we are at chapter 11, from intention to realization. The highest level of the will, its fusion with the universal will itself, is the very apex of our journey. We will have glimpsed the culmination and perfection of the will. But to best begin the effective training of the will for its progressive ascent through the attainment of strength, skill, goodness, and universality, we must now proceed to an examination of the act of will itself. The act of will consists of six sequential phases or stages. They are 1. The purpose, aim, or goal based on evaluation, motivation, and intention. 2. Deliberation. 3. Choice and decision. 4. Affirmation, the command or fiat of the will. 5. Planning and working out a program. 6. Direction of the execution. These six stages are like links in a chain. Therefore, the chain itself, that is the act of willing, is only as strong as its weakest link. So the performance of an act of will is going to be more or less successful and effective according to how successfully and effectively each of the stages is carried out. Let me note, however, that we are dealing here with the act of will in its ideal and complete state, not as a facsimile of every other willed act, but rather as a guide to complete purposive action. While the important acts of will warrant a careful consideration and the step-by-step execution of each stage, in many practical cases, sometimes one, sometimes another stage will be central, will call for the greatest time and effort. Other stages might be completely satisfactory with the minimum of effort and attention. For example, the head of a foundation with grant money to give to good causes may spend considerable time and effort to clarify in his mind what his goals are. He would then laboriously deliberate on the many possibilities, weighing the advantages and disadvantages of proposals that come to him. Eventually, he will choose one, and with little further effort, decide to fund it. Then, as he has done many times before, he will plan to ask his secretary to notify the recipient and will direct that a check be made to him. Here the first stages are quite prominent, decision less so. Affirmation may be hard to perceive, while the planning consisted simply in relying on the services of his secretary, and the direction of the execution was limited to having his secretary notify and pay the recipient. At noon, the same man may shift his aim to having lunch. He will quickly deliberate on the various possibilities, choose one among several nearby restaurants, and decide to go there. Perhaps he may meet a friend on the way and chat with him. After a while, if the acquaintance leaves, he may remember that before getting sidetracked, he decided to go to the restaurant, so he affirms to himself that he will now proceed, without allowing himself to be further interrupted. He rapidly plans the road to follow and gets on his way. That evening, he may have some friends for dinner, and, let's say he's a gourmet cook, may want to cook a meal for them. He quickly deliberates and decides what meal to prepare, affirms to himself that he will produce the best of what he is capable, then spends considerable time planning how to prepare the ingredients and how to cook the various dishes. Later, he proceeds to the actual execution, drawing to a large extent on the habit patterns and memories from his previous experience, but remaining watchful that his almost automatic activity carefully follows his plans as far as sequence, accuracy of the recipes, etc. So while not every stage of the will may be important in any one willed act, we need to be proficient in all the stages in order to act effectively in different circumstances. It has been my observation, and one easy to confirm, that the principal cause of failure in completing an act of will is that people often have difficulty carrying out one or another specific stage. In other words, they get stuck at a particular point in the sequence. Therefore, understanding the various stages and their functions is most valuable in uncovering the specific weak point or points in which one needs to become more proficient, in selecting the most suitable approaches and techniques to do so, and even more important, in realizing the far-reaching overall benefits that can be derived from such work. Just as in the personal psychosynthesis, the harmonising of the personality functions requires the strengthening of the ones which are undeveloped, so to acquire a fully effective will, we need to know how to will completely, how to carry out the act of volition successfully, from its inception through its culmination, without getting lost somewhere along the way. In order to give a general view of the subject, here is a brief description of the six functional stages of the will in action. 1. The aim or goal. The chief characteristic of the volitional act is the existence of a purpose to be achieved, the clear vision of an aim or goal to be reached. But while this is indeed an indispensable characteristic, it in itself is not sufficient. In fact, so long as this vision of the goal remains in the realm of the imagination or contemplation, it is not as yet will in action. First, the aim must be evaluated and assessed. Then it must arouse motives which generally urge and the intention to achieve it. The word motive itself indicates something active, dynamic. Motives are aroused by the values we attach to the goals we seek to attain. 2. But this alone is not enough. Many possible goals exist. We certainly cannot attain them all singly, and much less so all at the same time. Therefore, a choice has to be made. In order to make such a choice, we must determine which, among the possible goals, the many possible goals, is preferable. Determining this is a function of deliberation, in which the various goals, our possibilities for realizing them, the desirability and the consequences of doing so, and all the other relevant factors must be kept in mind and examined. 3. Deliberation must be followed by a choice and a consequent decision. This means the choice of a given aim and the setting aside or discarding of others. 4. The choice and decision must be confirmed by an affirmation. This activates and fosters the dynamic creative energies needed to ensure the achievement of a goal. 5. After that, careful elaboration of a plan and program is needed. These are based on the consideration and selection of the various means and phases of the execution of the plan, through time, according to circumstances, conditions, and existing possibilities. 6. Finally comes the direction of the execution. This is a specific task of the will, the proper function of which is not to carry out the execution directly, as is commonly supposed. The will can and should make skillful use of the other psychological and bodily functions and energies existing in the personality, thinking and imagination, perceptions and intuition, feelings and impulses, as well as the physical organs of action. To employ an analogy from the theatre, the will is the director of the entire production, but normally he is not himself one of the actors. This direction must also include constant supervision of the execution. The will at first calls up, or musters, the various functions needed for the purpose, and gives them definite instructions, directions, commands. But the will must also supervise their activities, watch the development of the program, see to it that it follows the right course. This entails, as we will see, a firm subordination of the various means to the underlying purpose and a constant adaptation of their use to changing conditions and circumstances. End of chapter 11.